that. Keep on the firing line. Keep on firing. That's a different way of doing battle than the way we do battles today in war. But the firing line was right up at the front. Whenever you had your musket ready and you had your powder dry and everything like that, right? Get on the firing line, on the firing line. That's on what we would call today the cutting edge, the cutting edge. I represent a project called the Gospel Film Project. Last night we showed the gospel film before we had the meal, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
I don't know, somewhere in there. But eat and consume the whole thing. Man, you people around here know how to eat. I'll tell you that right now. I like that. And the gospel film, the presentation of the gospel in languages of the world, we pay Facebook to take it around the world. Here locally, we have cards. This is in English, has a QR code on the back. Hand it to someone. Say, take this and scan this with your phone, if you would.
Amen.
It'll take you to YouTube, and you can watch a 15-minute film that'll tell you how to know you're going to heaven when you die.
Amen.
And a wonderful witnessing tool. Some of those cards are out back there. If you have someone you'd like to give one to, why, take some cards, pass them out. Feel free to do that. I think you're going to incorporate that in some of your material here at Bemis Road. And then also, there are the cards done in Spanish.
Amen.
In Spanish. And the QR code takes them to the Spanish version of that. There's a couple of cards back there that have sign language also. More of those are available on the website. We also have this little information brochure. By the time we print them, they're out of date. On this little flyer right here, at this time, which was done in May of 2023, there had been 146 million impressions and 85 million views, with 12,748 people trusting Christ. That has all changed since the end of May, and as of now, it's over 124 million views and 13,800 and something, I think. I believe folks that have trusted Christ that has written to us to tell us they trusted Christ as Savior. We make this commitment to an individual, to a Sunday school class, to a business, or to a church. If you support us, now, the average level of support among churches probably now is about $100 a month. And so we commit to you that if any individual, church, business, Sunday school class, whatever, say, we want to support the Gospel Film Project for $100 a month. In a year's time, we will give 1 million people from your support, we will give 1 million people the opportunity to hear the gospel. Of those realistically, 500,000 to 600,000 people will view the gospel as a result of your giving. And so that's a commitment we make. After 3.5 years, we can realistically make that commitment. And so I hope you'll pray about supporting the Gospel Film Project on whatever level. That's just a good round number. $100 a month is a good round number. And if you'd like to take that on yourself, you can put $100 a month for the Gospel Film Project right in there on the little card that you have. It's good to be in a church whenever you're voting, and today's a very important vote, and this is the ballot.
Amen.
Right here's the ballot. If you do not turn a card in or you leave it blank, what you're saying is, I vote for the church to do nothing about getting the gospel around the world. I just don't think that's what we ought to do. I just vote against it. I vote against it. I do not vote for that. According to what you put in there, is what the church can realistically do next year. If you give to missions and you say, well, I'll give the same thing I gave last year, what you're saying is, let's do what we've done already. Let's don't do any more this year than we did last year. Mm-hmm. But if you vote to increase, put that increase on, put the amount you're going to do that every week. And it's not just 4 weeks a month. If you vote to do that every week as you're voting today, then that's 26 times a year. 26 times a year. That's more than 24. Sometimes, some years, it's 27. You see, if you have leap year and in February, Sunday comes on the 29th of February, which is very, very rare, but sometimes you have that. And it's always interesting to see pastors look at that, missionaries look at that. We all look at that, you know. And so also back there on the table, I hope you'll vote. I notice on your giving envelopes that you have here, you have a place where you can put the amount of your missions giving for that month or for that week, and it ought to match what you put on this card. It matches, and then you put that in there, and that goes every week that month goes toward getting the gospel around the world. Amen. My wife and I have a mission organization called the Gospel Initiative, and you know, if you wanted to take us on for support, that's great. The wonderful thing about taking me on for support is that you're not going to have to do it very long, because I'm going to die pretty soon, so then you can quit, you know. All right. Okay, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. But I've been delighted to be here at Bemis Road Baptist Church and meet you folks and hear about what's going on here and see your church. Wonderful facilities. Beautiful location.
Yeah.
No reason in the world in a city like this with a radio station, with people and the development of a gospel team. No reason at all. You folks should not be running 200 in church. You've got the facilities for it. You've got the parking for it. You've got all the buildings. It's all here. It's all in place.
Praise
it's all ready.
Amen.
There's no reason not to do it, except we just don't reach out to people. And so this morning, I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge your hearts, and challenge you as a church to go forth in this matter of getting the gospel out to people. I want you to open your Bible. I want you to open your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sorry?
Can you turn your mic on?
What?
Turn your mic on. What is that?
Excuse us.
Here we go.
Oh.
Power.
Oh.
You're fully charged now, brother.
You mean in order to be heard?
The light has.
Boom, you hear me? Well, Pastor, I just must be honest with you. It can't be that simple.
It's really confusing. Yes, sir.
It can't be that simple. You mean, in order for my voice to come out through wherever the speakers are, I don't even see where they are. Are they up here? Is it? Oh, okay. I can't lean back that far. All I have to do is turn that switch. It can't be that simple. Now the guy back here would say, he'd say, well, it's not really that simple. It's that simple for you. But you see, somebody had to develop what they call sound enhancement. Somebody had to develop a little transmitter that would be hooked to a microphone, that my voice would go into the microphone. And it would be transmitted from this little box to a receiver back there. And the frequencies had to match. Somebody had to discover about frequencies and how that works. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And yet, all I have to do is push that little button and the frequencies match up. It goes into that receiver, and that receiver is plugged into a mixer board. And the mixer board adjusts the volume, and it goes through an amplifier. And it comes out of the amplifier, and a wire takes it to these speakers, and just boom, boom, there it is. There it is. You see, it's simple for me because somebody else did the hard part.
Yeah.
Bear with me a little bit in my folly of playing with a microphone. Okay? It's what it says in 2 Corinthians yes. chapter 11,
uh-huh.
verse 1. Bear with me. Just be patient with me. Would to God, verse 1, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, I don't want you to miss that.
Yeah.
The simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, whom we have not preached, or ye have, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose that I was not a whit behind of even the chiefest apostles. He said. Now what he's saying here is, he said, there's going to come people that follow me. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. Not a particularly good church. Not a particularly a church that would be a pattern for us. But a church that had to endure a lot of correction. A church that was carnal, immature, not doing the job God had for them to do. And yet they prided themselves in their knowledge and the intricacies that they had brought into all of these things of the gospel. You see, Paul had a fear, and I have a fear. As an older preacher, I have a fear that in our churches, and whenever I say our churches, I'm talking about our kind of churches.
Amen.
Fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, preaching, Baptist church. That we have been moved from the simplicity that is in Christ.
I agree.
We have gotten to where we have developed all of these terms and all of these ideas about salvation. Till we've got this involved in salvation, and this involved in salvation, and this involved in salvation, and this involved in salvation. And we've gotten away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. We've gotten so involved, and I'm for Christian Bible colleges. I'm for that. I'm for that. I'm for Sunday school and Bible curriculum, and I'm for all of the things that we do in the study of the Word of God. But we have become so much involved in the studying of the Word of God that we have left off the doing of the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
And we have become exalted in what we know,
that's right,
not in what we accomplish for God. And we've been removed from the simplicity. People are confused about how to be saved.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And it also intimidates. We've become so educated in this that we think that I don't know how to tell people how to be saved. And a lot of people do not witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're afraid somebody's going to ask them a question that they don't know how to answer, and they're going to look stupid. Because, you know, well, I can't go out and witness to the Lord. I've never been to a soul-winning seminar. I've never been to Bible college, and I really don't have a lot of time to spend in studying the Bible and all these kinds of things. And we simply have gotten removed from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, this is the subtlety with which the devil approached Eve. It's the same subtlety. It's the same deception. Because, you see, the serpent comes to Eve and he says to her, "Hath God said that ye shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden?" And obviously Eve said, "Yes, that's what God said." "Oh, really? Is that what God said?" Do you know why he said that? He said that because he doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. And if you will partake of that fruit, you will know more. You see, it's always about the mind. It's always about the mind and the heart. It's about the inside of us. The battle is for the mind. And to get you to thinking wrong ways about God. And when that comes, you get moved from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. There is not a person here who has trusted Christ as their Savior that cannot tell someone else how to be saved.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. If you know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you know that you're born again, then you know how to tell someone else how to be saved. You say, "Well, I've never been trained in that area." I could tell you example after example after example of people who were not trained, who were wonderful soul winners. I use one example. The pastor has referred to my friend and my boss for 27 years until he ran off to heaven. Curtis Hudson. Curtis Hudson was an untrained man. He finished high school, never went to college, never went to Bible college, and yet he accomplished wonderful things for the cause of Christ and was a tremendous and effective personal soul winner. Not because of his training, but because he kept the gospel simple. And God blessed him and used him. And I've known many people who were highly trained who never witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm for training
and I'm for training and carrying through on your training in witnessing. I think God is for that. I think the Word of God is for that. But I would rather have an untrained, active witness in the simple things of God than a trained person who never witnesses.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're here this morning and you do not know that you're going to heaven when you die, that you're God's child, and that your sins are forgiven, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, may I say to you what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is there anyone who knows more about salvation other than God than the Apostle Paul? And he comes to a place called Philippi, and he's locked up for preaching the gospel. Acts 16, you know the story. If you know your book, you know the story. At midnight, Paul and Silas pray. Earthquake comes.
Amen.
Now understand, they don't have lights, and they can't go over and switch them on like this, everything like that. And the jailer calls for a light. And the guy comes with some kind of a torch or something, and he comes in and sees what's going on in the prison. Now, this guy who's the jailer, now, if you understood in those days of the Apostle Paul what jailers were, they were not kind people. They were not gracious people. They were not people who were the epitome of society. They were mean. They were wicked. And if they were God, had any gods at all, they were idol gods. He is a Roman. He's a Roman. He is a violent man. He's a man, I do not know what he knew of Jesus Christ. He may have heard Paul and Silas preaching in the streets. He may have heard that. I don't know that he did, but I know he did not know the Ten Commandments. He didn't know the story of creation. He had never heard of Isaiah. He had never heard of David. He had never heard of the Psalms. He had never heard of any of those things. But he knew enough to know whenever God shook that place, that there was a power higher than him, and there was a power higher than his gods, and he knew that he was wrong in his position and where he was. And he calls for a light, and he comes in before Paul and Silas and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, here's a man who is ignorant of the Scriptures. He's ignorant of the Scriptures. He obviously has heard Paul and Silas preach that Jesus came, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. And the reason he did that was to be able to save us from sin. You see, he died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the dead with power to forgive our sins. He had obviously heard that. Now, I want to say to Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote the book of Romans. Wow! What a defense of the gospel, and what a presentation of the gospel, and what an intricate dealing with the working of the gospel. I think he wrote the book of Hebrews. I think God used him to do that. And with all the fulfillment of the types and patterns of the Old Testament and all the understanding that he has of the Word of God and the mind of God and the thinking of God and the way God has led him, a man comes in and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I want to say, now, Paul, get it right. Get it right. You don't often have a lot of people coming to you saying, "What must I do to be saved?" So here's a guy asking, give him the whole load. I mean, tell him all about it. Tell him everything he needs. Don't leave anything out. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong, Paul. I do not know the full conversation, but I do know what God chose to record. Paul answered and said unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know what people say about Paul's answer? They say, it can't be that simple.
Yeah. Same thing I said about this microphone.
Where is it? There it is. It can't be that simple.
Yeah.
You know why it's that simple?
God.
Somebody else did the hard part.
Amen.
Somebody had to figure out the frequencies. Somebody had to figure out how to transmit that sound wave. God figured all that out. God figured all that out. And Jesus Christ, by his sacrificial death on the cross, put it all into operation.
Amen.
And now, when I turn on that switch, the frequencies hook up. And when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, the frequencies between God and me hook up, and it all works.
Amen.
Why? Because of what I've done. Oh, let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you what I did. I figured out a way. I figured out a way to build a little device right here. You would never guess it to look at it, but it will pick up the sound waves of my voice. And there's a little membrane in there that will be affected by the sound waves of my voice. And it will run that through a wire into a little box. And that box will send those sound waves without any wires or anything else. I want you to know what I did. What I did. You say, you didn't do that. And you're right. I didn't do that. The only thing I did was turn a little button. Because somebody else did the hard part.
That's right.
And I come to the Lord Jesus Christ and I say, it can't be that simple.
It is.
Certainly I have to keep the Ten Commandments. Certainly I have to be baptized. Certainly I have to join the church. Certainly I have to give a good life. Live a good life. Certainly I have to give money. Certainly I have to. No, no, no. Are all those things good? All those things are good. Are all those things right? Yeah, all those things are right. But those things were never given in order to get me to heaven.
Amen.
It's Jesus and Jesus
Amen.
Only.
Amen.
And when I put my faith in him, he does it.
Amen.
For me. What he died on the cross to do for me, he puts in operation in my life when I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Some people are like this with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say, creaks a little bit, doesn't it? Not used to all that kind of weight on it. Now, if I say, I believe that this table will hold me up, I hope there's nothing sacred about this table that I'm violating or anything like that, but I wouldn't do that. But now, let me ask you this. Am I trusting this table to hold me up? Not really. Not really. If the table falls, I'm gonna still stand here. Because I've put a little weight on it. I've put a little weight on it, but I'm not trusting it. I'm not trusting it. Some people put a little weight on Jesus, but they want to have a plan B. You know, I'm gonna be baptized. You ask people, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you know what they say? I'm doing the best I can. You know where the best you can will take you? The best you can will take you to hell.
Amen.
Well, I'm trying to treat my neighbors right, and I'm trying to be good to my family, trying to pay my just and honest debts, you know. And I probably live as good a life as most of those folks down at the church. And sadly enough, they may be right. They may be right. But living as good as most of those down at the church will only take you to hell. That's all it will do. Now, they're better neighbors to live beside, and they're nicer folks to have in the community. But the only thing that will do is take you to hell. Now, am I trusting this table now? Absolutely. If this table goes down, I'm going down. I'm going down. I have put my faith completely on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did in dying on the cross to pay for my sins, in being buried and raising again the third day to take away my sins. I trust Him completely. And whenever I trust Him completely, whenever my faith, watch this, when my faith touched His finished work, I was sealed unto the day of redemption. I was made God's child. Now I may be a good child or a bad child, but I'm His child. I may be an obedient child or a disobedient child, but I'm His child. I've been born into His family. I didn't understand that when I got saved. You see, you're not saved by understanding. You're saved by trusting Him.
Amen.
I trust Him. I trust Him and Him alone for my salvation. Don't be moved from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know if you tell someone, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that you're giving them the same soul-winning message that Paul gave to a heathen man in the city of Philippi?
Amen.
You're preaching the same sermon he preached. And for us to say, well, I don't know whether I can do that or not. Well, sure you can. Sure you can. You've been born into God's family. Sure you can talk about your father, can't you?
Amen.
I can tell you about my dad. I go back home to the mountains of West Virginia. There's still some people living that remember my dad. And you know what they say to me? You look just like Orland. And to them, I'm not John Reynolds. I'm an Orland's boy. That's who I am. I'm Orland's boy. And I can tell you about my dad. I can tell you about what he did and how he lived and what kind of a dad he was. And I can tell you about how hard he could spank. And I can tell you about all those kinds of things, you know. I can tell you because he's my father. And I'm not embarrassed about it either.
Amen.
I'm not embarrassed about it. If I'm not embarrassed about my earthly father, why would I be embarrassed about my heavenly father? Amen. If I'm not embarrassed about parents who gave me earthly life, why would I be embarrassed about my God who gave me eternal life? You know, in a church, there's probably not anything more exciting than somebody trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
And then they follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And we say, woo! Like an old lady one time, she said, if I wasn't so shy, I'd shout. And the preacher said, well, why didn't you? She said, well, I just thought I'd shout this morning. I was just so happy in the Lord. She said, well, why didn't you? She said, you mean it'd be okay? He said, yeah, go ahead, shout. She said, woo. You know the only happy place in the hospital?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
It's the nursery.
Yeah, listen.
It's where new birth is. It's where new life is.
Amen.
You want new life in this church?
Amen.
You want revival in this church? You get some babies born. We get excited naturally in the church about babies being born. But we get excited about new birth spiritually. People being born again. We get excited about it. You go down to the nursery in the hospital. And you go out there to that window. I remember when our first grandchild was born. Been a while ago now. She's got 5 kids of her own now. I'm a great-grandfather. I can't believe a guy as young as I am could be a great-grandfather. But I was down at the nursery, and I was walking by, and I saw this guy standing there. And, oh, he was just, oh, man, you know, he was just looking. And you could see him beaming. He was just beaming. You could see that. And I said, you can have the prettiest grandchild in the world for another couple of hours. And then mine's going to be in there. And did you ever watch people? We're so dumb. People will stand at that window at the nursery in the hospital. They will stand there and they'll wave as if that baby laying there is going to look, oh, there's Grandpa. But we think it's the cutest thing, and oh, you know, do something. Respond to me. You want happiness in this church? Get some people saved. You say, well, I don't know really. I know I hear what you're saying, preacher, but I don't know I'm comfortable about that. Well, get them to church. Bring them to church.
Amen.
Bring them to church. Say, we got a great church. Man alive, we got great facilities and we got people that sing and man, our preacher is a good preacher. You ought to come and hear him preach. We want you to come. I want you to come. Will you go with me Sunday? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you out to eat after church Sunday if you'll come and go with me. Our preacher just preaches. It's okay if you lie a little bit about that, okay? It's And then, once they come to church, they may hear the gospel and respond right then. Or somebody may go to their house and sit down with them.
Yep.
That's what we do.
Hey.
Open the Bible and say, can I show you out of the Bible how to trust Christ as your Savior? You say to them, how'd you like to get saved the way a man in the Bible got saved? Oh, I could do that? Yeah. Right here. Look in Acts chapter 16.
Yeah.
It was a jailer. He was a mean old man. He's probably worse than you. He was a mean fella. And the Apostle Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And I fear that as Satan deceived Eve, by subtlety, you have been moved from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It's hard to get saved, but Jesus did the hard part. Some people call that easy believism. One of the hardest things I've ever done is to get people from trusting their baptism, from trusting their religion, from trusting their church membership, to putting their trust in Jesus Christ. But you can call it anything you want to call it. But it's what the Bible says, and it's what Paul told that preacher. I'm sorry, Paul told, what's what he preached to the jailer. Well, that's the sermon. The simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, will you simply say, yes, I will trust Christ as my Savior? Do you know, if I stood here with this little button turned off, and I'd say, preacher, I don't believe it's that simple. I'm not going to turn that button. I don't believe it's that simple. I don't believe it. Well, he says you can believe whatever you want to, but if you'll turn that button, it'll start working.
Yeah.
And you can believe whatever you want to about salvation. You're free to believe whatever you want to. But the fact is, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved.
Amen.
If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you to trust Jesus Christ and Him alone. Take your hands off everything else and put your salvation in His hands. And if you're here and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can tell somebody else. I challenge you to do that. You see, in this matter of missions, we need a number of things. We need methods, and there are all kinds of methods that are used. We need money. We need money. I talked about this last night. We need money. Need money. That's why we have faith promise. That's why we pass the offering plates. We worship God with our gifts. But you know, there's various kinds of gifts. There's gifts that we owe God. That's a tithe. In the Old Testament, there were all kinds of offerings. There were peace offerings. There were love offerings. There were peace offerings. There were offerings of thanksgiving. Offering of thanksgiving. And then there were special offerings whenever something special needed to be done. All kinds of offerings. We need money in missions. We need missionaries in missions. The one thing that doesn't change is the message.
Amen.
The message is settled in the Word of God. Today, I challenge you individually. I do not know you, so I can't come to you and call you by name and challenge you individually. But God does that. I'm not supposed to do that. You don't do that for the preacher. You do that for God. You do it for Him. If you do it for any other motives, it'll run out real quick. You'll run out. It'll be over. But you do it for God. Will you commit yourself? I may do this tonight. I may do this morning. The Lord seems to put something on me. In the next year, There's no one here that in the next year could not have someone in this church that you won to the Lord, brought to church, whatever. However, you could be responsible for adding one person to this congregation within the next year. Some of you could do it this week. Some of you could do it in a month. It's just a matter of saying, God, lead me and guide me. And if you say, well, if God will help me, I'll do that. If God will help you, what kind of a God do you serve? Do you serve a God that says, you go out there and do the work, but I'm not going to help you? Don't try to put the blame on God. Take it on myself. I've preached at you pretty hard this morning. I know that. I may never see you again this side of heaven. And I've preached at you pretty hard, and you've listened. You've been very attentive. But I don't ask you to respond to me. I ask you to respond to God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around, just between me and you and God. I wonder how many of us this morning, by testimony, as a testimony to your faith in Christ, would say, I'm a born-again child of God. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and heaven is my home. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? You may put them down. I wonder how many here this morning would say, Preacher, I cannot raise my hand in all honesty and say that I'm a child of God. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure that heaven's my home. I'm not sure of that. But I'm concerned about that. Would you raise your hand? Say, I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about that. Anyone like that? Anyone like that? I'm going to ask you this. How many of you would say, Preacher, as a born-again child of God, I'm going to tell someone else. I'm going to give them a track. I'm going to give them a gospel film card. I'm going to witness to them. I'm going to invite them to church. Somehow, I'm going to try to get someone to the Lord Jesus Christ in the next 30 days. In the next 30 days, I'm going to try to get someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand? You may put them down. You may put them down. Let me ask you 60 days. 60 days. How many of you say, I don't know whether I can do it in 30 days or not, but in a couple of months, you know, around Christmas time and Thanksgiving is a good time to invite people to come to church, good to talk to them about the Lord. I wonder, anybody else say, give me 60 days. Anybody else put your hand up and say, yeah, I'll do that. I'll commit to that. Anybody else? Okay. Wonderful. There may be somebody here this morning who'd say, I'm saved, but I really haven't been living for God. I haven't been living for Him. I haven't been following Him and obeying Him. That's going to change in my life. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord in my giving. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord in my attendance. I'm going to be faithful in Bible reading. I'm going to be faithful in prayer to Him. I'm going to change all that. I want you to just take the time in just a moment when we stand and just come down here, maybe come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I've wandered far away from God. But I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm going to mean business for God. I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, Father, these people have been very patient. and they've listened to me this morning with an attentiveness that is admirable, and I thank you for them. And I ask you to bless this church and bless this work. And I pray, Father, that we will see a revival of new birth here in the church.
Amen.
I know this pastor's burdened for that. And I know you want it, so I don't have to wonder if it's in your will to do that. I know it's your will. So, Father, I ask you for people to do your will in their lives, in every area of their lives. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, the piano is going to begin playing softly. If God's spoken to your heart and you want to come forward this morning and say, I need to be saved. I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, or I need to come home. I need to come home. I invite you to just stand, move out of your place, and come forward. Let's stand together. If God has spoken to your heart, come here to the front in response to God's word. Will you come right now as the piano plays?